Today is definitely another one of those days we have all four of those things in one, because we definitely got some hot messes going on that I get to address last week, but we definitely will be going in this week. And that's ironic because my guest today, Miss Honey Goddess, is actually in the NY area, so I can't wait to top it up with her. This is going to be a deep discussion. As far as many other things we're going to be talking about with her today. So I cannot wait to go in because this, yes, and kind of give you a little background by her before we go on, of a little bit in the show. Here we're talking about how she not only got into the industry, but how she has overcome adversity as a short model and what inspired her to spark the movement known as Diamond Goddesses, as well as step into a role as an A&R. So, man, this woman is doing a lot. And it's always a pleasure, not only when I get great guests, but guests who are doing so much with, you know, where people count you out. You know, a lot of people do it to me all the time. They do it to her. We both go through that a lot. It goes enough to piss you off to where, instead of just being mad, you transfer that energy into allowing you to be strong in what you do. So, man, she got a lot to talk about when she gets on. Y'all definitely be ready for that. But one thing I want to go in on, some hot mess I need to go in on last week, which is technically hot news, more so on the hot mess side. And I know y'all heard about it over and over, but I didn't get a chance to address it on the show. And that's what the show's for, have to address these situations. And that is this Eric Garner. I don't know what to say. Didn't we just get finished being mad from what happened with the Michael Brown case. And then this happens. In the midst of it all, this freaking happens. Same exact thing, the freaking jury. No indictment, except this time, instead of just hearsay, you got the stuff on the freaky camera. Now, granted, it wasn't a body cam; it was a cam. It was actually footage that somebody that was in the vicinity caught. It still was on camera. You can't say it was a bad angle, or whatever. Exactly. Well, what magic do you want us to pretend like we didn't see? Like, it was, what we saw was real, and it was enough disturbing to the point of, and this is how we're gonna, this is how it's gonna continue to happen. We're going in a complete super backwards position. It's not helping, and people actually, it's ironic. You know, I was talking to my brother about this on Saturday, that people are going to say stuff about the race card like it's a perk. First of all, this quote-unquote race card is only quote-unquote used with the situation she caused for herself. And it's not that we want to be about race. She makes it about race. When the evidence in front of she says nothing but, I'm sorry, it's a consistent basis. Just like in science, you take up, you do an experiment. There's this thing called control. There's these things called control and variables. The control is something within the experiment that stays the same. But there's the variables where you change this one little thing in order to then see what the result would be. Well, in this case, the freaking control, I mean, the control was, it was black people involved every time. It was cops involved every time. It was no indictments involved every time. The grand jury, this, that, and the other. And we keep getting the same exact outcome. What the heck do you want? The stuff is right there in your face. And for people to keep saying that, oh, this is the race car. It's not a race car. It's a blatant thing. It's blatant facts that people who are not of color are clearly saying it's about that. And I would take, why does it have to take a person who's not of color to prove that point, that it's not the case? Once you don't want to take our word to people who didn't go through it, thank you for people non-color who see it, because then now you see that it is what it is. You can't sit here and lie and say it's not the case. Y'all, so many people are being screwed every day with this stuff. And it's getting out of hand. And then I'm so tired of people hating on people who are doing protests and whatnot and saying they're so stupid and all that. I'm sorry, man. I commend those people because they took about all they can take. And this stuff keeps happening. And they're tired of people saying, well, y'all going to be, once this case is over, y'all going to stop. No, people were tired. In this case, after the Michael Brown thing, people say, you know what, we're sick of this crap. We're getting real sick of it because after that Trayvon Martin thing, that was a huge blow already. And then this freaking happens. And it just, you're not getting no rest. You just keep one thing after another. And that's just the stuff that's televised. We're not even talking about the stuff that's not televised. This stuff just goes like this every day. And they're invoking anger, and it's like, instead of, you know, it's just so annoying that it puts us in a dangerous situation because it puts you at, you end up going to being hostile towards police on purpose because you're so freaking mad, and every time you see, you just keep seeing more and more examples of distrust, of why should I trust police? So, that's a little bit, man. Eric Garner, man, rest in peace, man. My condolences go to the family who's having to go through the crap and that. And his wife, man, she was so tight. I saw that video. She said she does not accept his apology. I understand what you mean. You don't have to apologize for saying that comment at all. We definitely feel you. And with that being said, man, we're going to go ahead and go to some music because it's one of the great things we do here on Life at Dusk Live. All right, we're going to start with Savin Gevein, and we'll be back, man, right after this.
Feeling fresher than I imagine. I'm ladies and gentlemen, I bring you seven. But an introduction is nothing when you're established. Rolling the ass, chicken for fellas, what do we have? A selection of buttermilk cream, chocolate pecan. So I combo for a minute, look for chemistry in us. We flattering one another, swap the IGITS. Call up my boy, table for two. EVIP up, sex location, then I hop in the bath. So women be up and trusted by a divine. GIA my design, got a Russian brat in the old sign. Plus he's still on my mind, he didn't bring no cash with him. I tricked my last with him, his image is so suggestive. I'm ready to dash with him, pay the tab. We hop in the cab, things are moving fast. Introduce you to luxury vibes. questions, pondering, hoping that there'll be sex, and forgive me for being cruel. Straightforward, I'm never true. But baby, I need you next to my body, would do a zoo. Company me in sacred times, put your body next to mine. Watch my performance, I promise there will be no next in line. Straight with it, real women get it. No need for me bragging, but you'll be healed when I'm finished. Placing his fingers over my naughty, but I keep it sensitive. We tongue and I'm hot and bothered, I wanna feel his percentage. Who thinks twice when you're living your life? Open to every option if he's willing, I might. See, baby, I'm being quiet if you're spending the night. And if you're worth it early morning, probably go for a bite. I'm no pity, be a cologne cheap. Literally, me, I can tell you don't do this all the time. Maybe I'll take your mind, guarantee you'll never find another.
You gotta give me more, come on, you gotta give me more, you gotta give me more, you gotta give me more, you gotta give me more.
give me more.
That was a pretty hot music break to start off the show. I might say so myself, some great women. Back to back, my girl Seven Gervais first, and then my girl Red Chase. I mean, that's lyricism. They can give a lot of these dudes in the industry right now a run for their money easily without even breaking a sweat. But, heck, man, I just had to go on about that. It gets me crooked out here. Great female artists to just go in. But we got in the building now, very special lady who's all the way in Buffalo, the home of the Bills, that is trying to do a little something. Well, welcome to the show, my girl, Miss Honey Got It.
Thank you for having me.
What's up? Welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be on here.
Yes, first of all, we're definitely glad to be your first interview. Yes, it was our first radio interview. So y'all know how we do these newbies, man. We always got to break their cherry, their interview cherry.
Oh, man.
Hard, so. So, yes, we definitely go break the interview cherry. That's what we do best over here. But first, I mean, I just kind of want to, you know, get into, though, the big thing that's had you here in the first place, we're talking about your modeling, and also we're talking about you as an A&R as well. We'll get into that as well. But
okay.
I want to start off with the modeling side. You know, let everyone know, first of all, what made you decide to go with the name Miss Hunting Goddess, and what made you go into modeling in the first place?
The reason why I chose Miss Hunting Goddess is because it's funny, my boyfriend used to always say that he used to call me like honey and stuff. So I thought about him, and he used to always call me a goddess. So pretty much I did it because, you know, it reminded me of him. And the reason why I went into modeling is funny because I never really modeled. I was a dancer. I've been dancing for 17 years in the studio. I have choreographed choreography in studios. I have a lot of stage experience, and I wanted to take my dancing more serious, so I had got a photo shoot set up. And so, I don't know, I just fell in love with modeling, just like how I feel about dancing, and I just haven't stopped.
Oh, so you're basically telling me that me and you need to have a dance battle to see who the best is. You know, I give you a run for your money. It's like, oh. I took dance class in eighth grade because I had to, because I couldn't take athletics because of the way my schedule was. They said, you got to take something. And dance class was what I had to be in. But our dance kickers, men, women, whoo-wee, man, dance class is great. Get to see women do their thing. But, whoo, anyways, so you say basically you kind of got into it from, because you were trying to do stuff with dancing and whatnot. You kind of take that into passion, kind of went further. So,
right, into modeling.
You know, can you continue that fashion? What made you, what was your first project that you did besides, you know, the photo to show that, hey, oh, I like this. What was the next project that kept you doing modeling? Because you do that for one project that was kind of like teasing, but you don't do the one that when you become serious about it. So what was like the first product, the first project you became serious about modeling?
Well, that's a good question. I would have to say when I started my group, Diamond Goddesses Modeling Entertainment, is when I really, really became serious about it. And actually, it's mine. It's legally mine. So that is my It's my little industry, my little agency.
And speaking of that, you know, going to that, because first of all, big ups to you for being about business. Woman says she owns the entity, people, not just saying it. She owns the entity. What made you come to the idea? What actually came with the idea of Diamond Goddesses? Because, of course, you know, the person who sees, hey, well, her name is Miss Honey Goddess. Yeah, but there's always, but after talking to you, I've learned that everything always has a deeper meaning with you. So what made you go with Diamond Goddesses?
I went with Diamond Goddesses because diamonds shine, and I definitely shine. So I just thought it fit.
Oh, okay. So you're saying, so anyone that's with you, you know, if somebody you feel like is shining, is that what you're basically saying?
Yeah, but my agency, I don't discriminate. As long as they work hard and they go hard, they always, you know, they can be with us. But if they're not, you know, doing what they're supposed to do as a model, I mean, like, I can't really work with them, but I always promote them, show them love. I never hate on anybody. I'm always, you know, there for all these models.
Yeah, but you got some, you actually, you know what? And the crazy thing is your page actually kind of played a part in some more models, like another model coming to the site and one that was on Reardon's site. That's actually how I found out about you.
Mm-hmm.
She's been in the show before, too. I'll soon say I found for her. And then Lyric is on the site, too.
They're one of my top models.
Yes, I found Lyric from your page. So, you know, it's always great when that's how you know your stuff works, when you get people who are serious that come from an entity that you have.
Right.
So, yeah, and they are some powerhouses. They really be on it.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Now, as far as like deal now, one of the adversities we want to definitely go in on that it drives me nuts, because me being, you know, a lot of people always look at me like this tall nerdy dude. He's cool. He's nerdy. Like, when you too many different things that don't add up, people find you weird or whatever. Or when they look at you and say, oh, you're not supposed to make it. Like looking at me and say, oh, you know, some people, I might not be the finest thing to them, so why the heck was I doing any kind of photo shoot? But obviously there's a reason why I did it, whatever. So show them, ha, ha, ha. But, you know, as far as you being a model who's short in the industry, which, by the way, y'all better get with it, man. These short models, man, I just saw one earlier this morning that's coming to that point of I saw a whole lot of people in the comments like, damn, about some other models who actually in my area. And a lot of people showed them some love. And going into that, you know, how do you fight that adversity as being short in the industry where if you're not 5'9" and up, you got to deal with that much more bullshit?
Right. Me, I don't care. I love it. Hate on me because it just makes me go harder. I ain't going to stop. Nobody's going to make me stop. When I reach the top, I'm still not going to stop. I do this for my family. I got 2 kids, and that's that. I'm never going to stop. So they can hate all they want to hate. I don't care. I'm going to still do me, and I'm going to come harder every time.
And how do you feel about, you know, the fact that you are so, that you by default are a role model for those models out there who are short that say, I didn't know I could do it, but now that I've seen you do it and you go so hard at it, I know I have a chance. How do you feel knowing that you have that kind of responsibility, and how do you embrace it, making sure you go as hard as you can to earn it, keep
title? That makes me feel good. I want to be a role model for girls. I have a daughter myself, for young girls, old girls, rich, poor, any type of female. You know, anything is possible. You go hard, you can reach your dreams if you just work really, really hard, and it don't matter what you look like, your size, your shape, your color. I mean, the average girl for modeling would be skinny and tall, but that's not the average girl in the world.
Right.
So I'm kind of trying to change the game up a little bit, you know, try to get other girls who doesn't look like, you know, the average size girl in the modeling industry, you know, like,
yeah.
There's other
hey.
Beauty. Everybody to me is beautiful.
It's a lot of y'all consistently proving, hey, y'all keep saying, like, just showing the people, hey, y'all keep sleeping on y'all, but y'all keep sneaking in the shadows on people, just continuously making moves happen. Like, I mean, there's plenty of people I can name on the top of my head, like Ashley Danielle, it's another one, like, or not even Ashley Nicole, excuse me, Ashley Nicole, another perfect example. Like, I be sitting there, my head turns every time I look at her pictures. I'm like, good God. Like, so it doesn't matter. Like you said, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. I hate, and for me, I tell people this all the time on the show about balance. I don't like things, I don't like everything being the same. Like, okay, this person has to look like this. All right, the next person I deal with has to look exactly like that person. Like, everybody, if everyone looks like the same in your brand.
But you know what? Like, I got
boring.
A lot of people that try to book me that like the fact that I'm different. They kind of tired of the same looking girl. They want something different that's going to bring something different to their video or to their clothing line or something, you know? So that's a plus for me because I bring something different. And I work very hard on my body. So my body, you know, is right, and I'm a pretty girl. And I'm smart, so, like, I bring a lot to the table in the industry.
Now, as far as, oh, no, he goes one of my messy questions, because people know I get messy with this. And this is usually when a photographer, this is usually when I ask this question, usually that means a photographer is going to be inboxing you about why you didn't pick them. And that question is, who is your favorite photographer that you have worked with to date? And why?
The last photographer that I worked with, Dana Ritchie, I would have to say he's my favorite. He's the most professional. His pictures come out the best. I don't know, like, I feel comfortable around him, and I haven't had any issues with him. I had some issues in the past with photographers about getting pictures back on time and other situations, issues. So, yeah, I would have to say that I'm going to continue to work with him.
That's a good look. You know, and yeah, that picture's on time, so that be pissing me off. That get me not to work with a person real quick.
Right.
Oh, especially, oh, no, that's not only what make you mad. If they're going to take forever to get here, they at least got to be on point.
But what made me mad was the photographer, not saying no names, he sent me another girl's picture, so he wasn't even on point. So I'm thinking, hold on.
Wow.
Did he send my picture to somebody else? Yeah, so I'm like, I'm not working with him no more. I'm good on him. And then
we had to give him the cricket award. We got to give him one more. We got to give him one more, y'all. He gets a cricket award today. Every Monday, we got to get somebody a cricket award that does something that just doesn't make any freaking sense. And that's something there. That, wow.
Yeah.
I'm done. You sent the wrong person picture. Didn't look at the pictures before you sent them and said, but what that little Sonny to be on Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the other. Somebody don't add the heck up. That picture does not look like this person. Why are you sitting there? Oh, man, that's not a good. That's wild. We just went far back in time of how after the industry is just because of that. All right, so before I go to some more questions, because I see we do have a caller. I'm going to find out who it is. This person's from the 704. You're on Life That Does Live with Ceddie J and Miss Honey Goddess. What's up?
What's going on? It's your boy Dusty Winchester calling in to show some support to Honey Goddess.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I was listening to the interview, and I would like to know what, as an A&R, what can you provide for the independent artist that's trying to come up and trying to make it.
We provide distribution service. I have a whole bunch of notes because I'm kind of new at this, but I'm doing really good. I might be closing my first deal tomorrow. We're doing pretty good. Basically, we just provide distribution service in 600 different outlets worldwide. We offer, they give you, okay, we do a video, and then, like, you'll get paid, and we have dancers that dance to your song. They'll get paid. What's that called? Pandora. We offer Pandora, where if your music spins, you know, you get paid for that. So we have different packages that we offer depending on what you're trying to do, like if you're trying to push a single, an EP, an album. So maybe after the show you can hit me up and we can talk about it if that's what you're interested in doing.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, getting information from you because we already friends on Facebook and whatnot, but I was just getting mad information and showing support, that's all.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I appreciate the question.
But, yeah, if you're interested, definitely we're doing big things. We got some celebrities coming on board soon. Actually, we have one celebrity on board. He used to be with Pretty Ricky. We have some big stuff going on. So if you're interested, just hit me up on Facebook and we could talk about it.
Okay. I really appreciate the information you provided for me. And I'm
gonna
continue listening to the show. You know, I'm a first time caller. It's my first time coming on the show, listening, because I ain't doing the show. Yeah, so, you know, and you mentioned it, you having an interview, so I called in to show some support. And again,
right,
my name
is... Oh, no problem, man. We appreciate you for calling in.
Yeah, and again, my name is Dusty Winchester.
Okay.
I'm right, Dusty.
Okay, yeah, I know who you are. Okay.
Okay, no doubt, All right.
Well, I was like, when people come on the show, they call in, they ask some pretty deep questions and be on point. It's always a good look. I appreciate that, sir.
So, right. Yes,
man. There's just so many things. Speaking of music, because we haven't even talked about the music, so I'm glad that was a great segue for him. Going to the music side of things, as far as from your personal viewpoint, what do you think are some of the things that need to change in the industry that are continuously hurting the industry? Because you got stuff like the other day, you had Lil Wayne put this tweet out.
Passion. I feel like these artists do not have passion. I feel like they just do it for the money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have the passion like they used to have. I just feel like music ain't what it used to be. A lot of people say, you know, like 90s music, that was, you know, some real music. But nowadays, I don't know. I just don't feel like some of these artists have the passion if they just do it for the money.
I can agree with you on that. I feel that I was actually talking to him about that earlier, that It is unfortunate because there are a lot of great artists out here, but
mm-hmm.
when you listen to the radio, it doesn't reflect that. We hear a lot of BS. It's like 90% BS, and then you find them few songs that's actually good songs, and you go, oh, okay. Because even the twerk songs back in the 90s and stuff still didn't make you feel stupid. So I don't know what to say. We were praying on that one. That's really, God, that is.
Mm.
that bugs me all the time too. And is and I think we, as a matter of fact, me and you were talking about that yesterday. I was talking about how it's annoying that a lot of the whack artists have, you know, are being about business, and a lot of the great artists aren't handling their business. So it screws a lot of things up, and it's like, oh my God, can we get these great artists to handle their business more so that we can make some stuff happen and really enjoy music again? And like you said, people just doing it just because they can say, oh, let me get signed real quick and then get this money. Yeah, you want to make money too, but you want to be – but give us something that you really are passionate about. Like, we don't want to hear a bunch of BS. Yeah, we gonna be. Right. We can tell right away if you being real or not.
Exactly.
Like,
I agree with you.
Who started this movement where artists want to keep sound like they in a toilet? Like, everybody saw they saw they on a freaking toilet, and it's like they can hear that the background of the restroom. That's what it sounds like. Tuesday. It's catchy, but it's after you finish listening to it, you feel like you lost about 100 brain cells just listening to it. You're like, oh, I'll never get them back again. Oh, Lord. All right. Over here, I see another question. Got another caller. Oh, this person's from the 504. Hey. What's up, caller?
Hey. Hi, this is the Empress. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good.
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. I'm from Forest, Louisiana. I'm from the Gulf Coast. And I think that you're absolutely right in saying that a lot of music that's on the radio doesn't reflect true artistry. But when people stop listening to garbage, it would stop selling. It's advertised just the same as good music is, but unfortunately people don't want good music because if they did, it's just as abundant as the crap. Now, I'm not from Louisiana, and a lot of the bigger rappers who say the most garbage and they show the most garbage come from that area. And it's beyond me how they can sell out arenas. But there has to be an audience that's willing to pay money to, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's lots of money to be made, and when people make money, they could care less whether you're buying poison or if you're buying education. If it gives you green, it will sell. So that's the sad part. I think that overall we have an appetite for garbage, because if we didn't, the music that makes sense would be on the air.
I completely agree with you.
Me too.
Yeah.
But what I think is, like, whatever is, like, in or whatever, everybody's followers. Nobody wants to be a leader anymore.
Nobody wants to follow what
these artists are doing. Nobody wants to be themselves and have their own opinion in their own mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody has to be individual, and when someone stands out a lot more than the others is when it's noticed. I mean, that's how you get Michael Jackson's and you get Elvis's or you get Prince's or you get, like, real artists, real artists. But now, like, every rapper looks the same, dresses the same, says the same thing, talks the same thing, and, like, I don't know how many more times you can talk about having sex to a beat or moving your butt and creating a dance. I mean, it's exhaustive and it's predictable now. So I don't know. It's a
true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've always thought this way. I don't have a problem with the twerk music. I have a problem about how the twerk music is being made, if that makes any sense. Like, if twerk music, I mean, before it was called twerk, it's been out forever. Going trolling all the way back to, like, the 70s and 60s. I mean, they would just say it a different way. Like, for instance, like, come on, baby, and let's do the twist. That's twerking. All that nobody say, that is twerking. That is twerking. I don't care. Nobody tell me. but it's right. How you make the music. And you told the girl, hey, and y'all know, because y'all know on this show we can say cuss words. Like, you were, so you know all the time you got these songs, come on, bitch, hit the flow. Come on, bitch, show some more. Come on. The songs like that, everything sound like that. Is how many times, it's like they got to go on a quota every time they go to the studio. When I make this song, how many times can I use the word bitch in this song? Ready,
right,
set,
right.
Go. It be driving me nuts. Oh.
But I think, don't you think that the reason the culture of music is changing because the culture of people are changing? It used to be, and I think there's a generation gap of people who were absolutely okay with being called a bitch. Like, I'm from a different era. I'm 41 years old. I'm just a different type of female, I think, with regard to music and culture. So ain't nothing with no bitch in it going to be played on my stuff. You know, I can't identify with that. But when you have a majority of people where bitch is just as common as the word the, or it's used as sometimes, just like nigga. Is very common. So people who identify with those things are the buying power people. Like, nobody, you know, if we didn't embrace it, and I'm not saying we just as black people are urban listeners or whatever, it has to be embraced in order for it to become mainstream, because now bitch is something you can say on regular television.
Yeah, it's a term of endearment. It's scary.
Right. Right. And so if we're not going to be the persons who say a bitch is like a dog, and that's like the lowest form of animal, and I don't want that association with human beings. If enough people don't say that and enough people don't repel that, then it becomes pretty generic and it doesn't even move you. It doesn't, like, it's weird when you don't hear a number one single with the word bitch in it. It's like, oh, my God, they made it all the way to the 12th CD song, and they didn't say bitch, ass, you know, nigga or whatever. And it's like they call those the soft rappers, or those are, you know, they even call Drake a teddy bear because he's not tatted from his crown to his toes. And he doesn't obviously act like a gangster of some sort, you know, in the public.
But he got to talk that auto-tunes, though. That auto-tune be driving me nuts.
but he's not a rapper.
Come on. You can't tell me that he don't be out of that stuff.
But the truth is they needed someone. They needed someone in the rap industry to not fit the mold. He's a singer. He is actually a singer that they said that he's a rapper. He's like a crooner. He should be in a whole different category in the stores, but that category doesn't sell anymore. Who's gonna buy?
Yes, it does.
As an A&R, I heard a lot of very individual, like very different music that hopefully, you know, they'll come with us and put their music out so the world can hear it. And it's really, really good. It's so different from what y'all hear now. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what we're looking for in PMG. We're looking for something different, something, you know, unique that nobody heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm just tired of the nonsense, honey. I'm really, they wear me down. Like, I can't handle it. Like, a lot of people, that's what
yeah,
I like coming here
too.
Out. They, you hear stuff you don't hear all day long.
Uh-huh.
And it's crazy, like, because now they just launched a station here that plays nothing but old school hip hop.
Uh-huh.
It feels like you're listening to Spotify or something, like, or Pandora, because it's so unreal. Oh my God, y'all got rid of a station and made a station into an old school hip hop station? And when people listen to it, like, the feeling, just how people feel, like, their whole demeanor is, like, changing because, like, man, like, this is what we like to hear. Like, why does it not sound like this no more?
Right. Well, I don't mean to keep talking. This is my last comment. I just enjoyed your conversation and want to be a part of the show. But music is very powerful. It's words put to melody, and it tames the soul of the person. It cures the mind of people, and people don't understand that. And when you look at the state of our world today, this is why. And a lot of people think, oh, it's just music. It's just music. No, it is actually the background music to what is actually happening in our world. Like, we're wondering why our teenagers are disrespectful. We're wondering why, you know, they're getting younger and younger, bringing guns and knives and that sort of thing into the school. And you can't blame all of the music, but if music is 80% of what you're hearing, they don't hear the teacher in the school, they don't even go to church, but they have the music. They have the music, and the music message becomes a mantra for their life. It's like a backdrop for their life, and if it doesn't change, I feel like we're doomed. I feel like
agree with you on that one.
We'll be hiding music, like in the basement somewhere, like real music. Like, we're going to be hiding Teddy Pendergrass and Marvin Gaye music away like it's an artifact, because all we're going to hear is bitches, bitches, hoes, hoes, nigga, nigga. You know, that's what you're going to have to speak, and that's how you're going to have to act in order for the world to accept you. And it's just not going to be in my home. It's not going to be in my home.
Right. I definitely agree with you. I don't like that in my home either, around my children.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys letting me be a part of your show.
Thank you for calling in.
It's a pleasure. But, yeah, I'm telling you, Drake, come on, man. I gave a hard time over that Drake thing. Drake be, honey, got it. Well, he got to turn up. Life got to turn up.
Didn't they just say he got punched in the face or something by Diddy?
Oh, man. Oh, that's some new stuff. See, sometimes y'all can be the hot mess to be there. I don't catch. Interesting. But,
crazy.
So you be in New York because you're right there by it. How do you feel about this Eric Garner case? Because I know it's shaking stuff up there right now. And, we can't catch a break. Didn't we just have the Michael Brown case happen? And then this hits us right in the face literally a week later. Like, we weren't ready for this. This is not – I'm not ready to keep doing this every few weeks.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. How do you feel about – this Eric Garner case that's going on and that happened in New York, where, I mean, if that's the case, this whole commotion started over a dude selling loose black and milds. You've got to be freaking kidding me if that's even the case.
Oh, I don't think I heard that one.
Oh, Lord. You wait till you go – do your research on that, and then get re-pissed off again. You're gonna be. If you thought you were mad behind the Michael Brown thing, ain't saying one is worse than the other, but this is just this happening right after it pisses you off more, because you're like, so after this happened, y'all still pull that same stunt on us again. And this time it was video footage. No indictment.
Oh, okay. I think I did see that on Facebook. That's crazy.
Yes. No indictment, all that crap. I'm like, you know what? We just can't freaking win no more.
No, it's going to be to the point where they can just kill us, and that's that. They can just run up in our home and just shoot us and kill us and keep it moving. It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's going to start becoming a normal everyday schedule. All right, let's see. Brush my teeth, kill a black person.
That's crazy. You know what? My kids are half black, so it hits home. My man is black, you know, so it hits home. So just because I'm not black, it don't mean it don't hit home for me, and it really does. You know, his family, you know, is all black, and it's my family, you know. So it hits home for me. So it's like my daughter's 8 years old, and I had to sit her down and talk to her about this, you know, because I don't hide nothing from my daughter. because there's so much going on, and I want her to be aware of this world. This world is terrible. So I had to sit her down and actually talk to her about how they killed that little girl. The little girl was 7 years old. The police raided the house, I think, without a warrant, and
yes.
The little girl got shot in her bed. My daughter is 8 years old. That little girl was 7 years old. So I have to tell my daughter, you know, you got to listen to your mom and your dad because, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on in this world. And if I have to tell you to do something, you got to be ready to do it. You know, there's no time to question me. Just do it, you know. So it's crazy that I'm actually talking to my daughter about, you know, this stuff. My son is 3, so he's still a little young, but she's old enough. You know, she's probably going to be hearing stuff in school, and I'd rather it come from her mom than her hear it, you know, in school with her friends.
This just makes me feel some type of way.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to ask some final questions. Some crazy ones. So I hope you're ready. Let me dig into my magic hat of questions. So in this part of the show is where we ask you 3 crazy questions, and you have to answer them. And you can't
okay.
try to escape them. It's just that,
okay.
it's that real. All right, so here we go, first one. We're going to go low to high. So first one is, what's the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you?
Oh, the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me. I don't know.
Y'all be trying to be slick on here, man. Y'all be fooling me. I know y'all be having stuff now.
I mean, that question
I think
came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting that question. Like,
we got you. You were so thinking music, so she can think of this really well.
That's my thinking music.
Since she needs the time to think, really what she's thinking music.
I mean, I don't know if it's the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me, but it was kind of embarrassing. I was walking downtown and I kind of tripped and fell. And so I got up real quick and dusted myself off and kept it moving. I was like, it was like people around me, they didn't say anything or anything. They didn't even ask if I was okay. I was kind of embarrassed.
They didn't laugh?
No, they just like, I don't
know. Hold on. Or did they pull one of these things? They helped you up, then as they helped you up when you walked away, they laughed. That's probably what they did.
Maybe.
I've done that a couple of times. I helped somebody and after they fell,
but
I
laughed. Like, it was a thing in the cement, like where you could trip over it. And I think I had some sandals on too. I think it was in the summertime. And I had walked there again. I was like, okay, where's that thing? Because I'm not going to fall over it again. Matter of fact, I was on my phone. I think it was on Facebook. I
trip. Oh,
no,
pray
for
the children, everybody.
Like, damn.
She fell and busted behind.
I did.
Oh, I've done it before. I did
I
when that was really.
Mine
was worse.
Like,
at
damn.
Least yours wasn't when it was a rainy day. There was mud on the ground.
Right.
I was laughing at somebody trying to be cool, came up the school bus, and I jumped out the stairs trying to be cool and fell and busted my behind. This is in high school. Like, what the heck just happened? So I got all this mud on my butt and all that. So, yeah, I had to learn a lesson. He who laughs does not always laugh last. Another crazy question. Let's see. There's two. We got two more. Okay, this one. All right. Here goes a messy question. Who is an artist that's out right now whose music you can absolutely not stand?
The artist whose music I can't stand?
Yes. There's always that one.
Eminem. I don't like him. I don't like Eminem.
So why do you not like Eminem?
I don't know. Like, well, I don't know because, like, I think his new music is different. So I'm actually trying to give him a chance because, like, my man loves Eminem. So I'm like, okay, I'll give him a chance. But I didn't like his old music. It was very degrading towards women, and I don't like that, you know. I don't like that. But I've heard some of his newer songs, and they weren't that bad. But I don't know. I just can't stand him. Like, I don't know.
I can feel you on that. So,
hear me, but
he's getting better. I mean, he's getting a lot more positive now because he did used to, man, he used
exactly.
to come hard on
like
y'all
his,
women.
I'm
man.
Not gonna say I can't stand him. I didn't like his old music. It was very degrading for women. It wasn't cool. But yeah, I heard some of his new stuff, and I did like some of his new stuff. So he's getting better in being, you know, positive and everything, which is good.
Yeah, I can understand why you say that. Yeah, because he was coming down on y'all extra hard. He was not giving y'all no break at all. He was like,
yeah, he must
bam.
Have been going through something.
Yeah, he was y'all have it, man. Early Eminem, like 90s, leading the 2000 era Eminem. That dude there, he was depressed, and he was letting y'all know every song, almost
yeah.
every song. Yeah, I can agree on that. He has to know. He always had the lyrics though. His lyrics always been on point.
It wasn't him, and it wasn't his music. It was just like the degrading of women. I don't like that. I'm a very positive person. I like positive things. I don't like all that degrading stuff. It's because that's why, like, you haven't seen me in a music video yet, because I'm not going to just do any video. The videos that I got asked to do were ridiculous. Like, I'm not about to go to work in the projects. I don't care how much money you're about to pay me. That's not what I'm going to do. Sorry.
Twerking in the projects.
No. You better
go
pick one of these little strippers or something, these little groupie hoes or something, because that's not me. I'm a brand. I'm Miss Honey Goddess. Nah, you will not see me doing that. Not in no project.
Oh, Lord. He
That's
said, now,
crazy.
Now, if they up it up a little bit, come back and talk to you. Oh, Lord.
Well,
okay, your last word.
When I dance, I'm not like I don't twerk like all. You
You're
know how like girls, they just be twerking. I could dance like Sierra, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of mix it up with Sierra's and my own flavor. So, you guys are going to be seeing that real soon, because actually 2015, I'm planning on getting back into my dancing. Me and my photographer already talked about it. We're going to do a promo dance/modeling video. I just want it to be perfect. So I've been planning it for a while, and I'm going to put it out in 2015. I'm going to get back in it because I need to do me a video.
Cool. Maybe I can have a dance battle against you. Anybody.
You're not going to win.
I am, man. I'm telling you, I'm cold, man. I'm the coldest in the game. You may ask somebody.
Like, I got some little stupid dance videos on Facebook that I made.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
I'm officially going to go on a hunt and go look at those now. I'm officially going on a hunt after this show. It would be nosy. Okay, one more question. Last question would be your links and stuff, but this is the last question. And that is, so here we go really hard on you. Told you it's going to be, it was low, medium, high. So a high is, what is the freakiest thing you have ever done?
Oh, why you do me like that? I can't tell y'all.
Yeah. Yes, we did it. We did you like that.
I can't tell y'all. I can't put myself out there like that. I mean, okay, well, when I was younger, I was a little wild, you know, so I done did it, you know. I done did it before. Like, yeah. I can't put myself out there
not
like
as
that.
Crazy. That's not too crazy. What's not too crazy? How about that? Where it's like,
Okay, well, I had threesomes before with a girl and a guy.
How was that? Because obviously, different stuff. Like, is it what the hype is all about? Because a lot of people say, I mean, I'm be real.
I actually had it with my man.
Jay, you're such a square. But how? Cause, you know, I mean, I haven't done it. I won't, but I haven't. case. The point is, like, is it what the hype is all about? Because a lot of people, some people say yes, some people say no.
It's just spicing it up, you know. Like, me and my man did it. He's been wanting it for a while, so I had did it with him maybe 2 years ago. We did it twice, actually. The first time, I was a little jealous, you know, but he wanted it, and I was like, fuck it, let's just do it. And it was cool. I mean, nobody caught no feelings or nothing. The girl knew it's time to go, you know. Everybody knew their place, so that, you know, when she came back, she came to chill with me. She wasn't all up on him or nothing, you know what I'm saying? That's why some people don't want to do it, because they're insecure. They think, oh, well, my man's going to want to go cheat on me with her. I don't have mm-hmm. that problem. I don't have that problem. Me and him got an understanding. They have, good communication. We have very good communication in our relationship. So if we do decide to do something, we got to, agree on it, you know. Nobody's going to go behind anybody's back and do nothing or nothing like that. We're going to do this, you know, whatever. But she left, went home.
See, that's good. It wasn't that wild. It wasn't wild because it actually was like, okay, I was with your man. And so it didn't sound too wild. So, see, you still squeaky clean a little bit. Just gave him a hint. You didn't give him all the details. Like, we did this to each other. We did this. You didn't give him all that.
Oh,
so.
That goes into details now.
No. Oh, no. I didn't say go to detail. I said, if you had done that, that's where it probably would have been like, whoa. But you were good. You gave him something, but you didn't give him a whole lot. You gave him just enough to make their minds wonder. That's one-on-one,
right.
People. Give them just a wonder. Don't give them the whole enchilada.
Right.
All right. All right, so that being said, since we already come to a close, let everybody know how they can follow you. Or as we call the show, we call it stalking, because stalkers are a special type of followers. Like, anyone can like your page or follow it, but stalkers are the ones, they come follow your page. They support everything you got.
Those ain't stalkers. Those are fans. Those are my fans. I love my fans. My fans are so great.
That's the fun way we call it on the show. We use stalking as a term of endearment on the show. Like, because a stalker, you think about a stalker, everywhere you go, they follow you. And see, that's
true.
Where you see where, you see.
You're gonna make
you're
my
going
fans don't want to be my fans no more. Like, I'm not a stalker.
No, people use that. No, you know, people use that now because they're like, oh, okay, that was cool how he did it. You gotta explain it first, because if you don't explain it, they're gonna be like,
mm-hmm.
What did you just call us?
Right.
No,
right.
Not
like,
the crazy.
Let me
put it
there.
Let me put the right there
more.
Again. Not the crazy stalkers. We talking about cool, like, in a good sense. Like, I want people to stalk me to work. In a good way, in which if I put something out, they're following my pages, and if I put something out, they're supporting it. That's what I mean. So we gotta clear that up, because they're gonna come after us still if we don't explain it.
Well, I don't know, like, my link on Facebook, but I have two pages. You can follow me at Alexandria Verdugo, but I can't have no more friends because I reached 5,000. But you can add me at Drea Dominique on my other page, or you can like my fan page, which is https://miss-honey-goddess/550-844-804-981.
We're going to throw a rock at this woman. Y'all go search her on Facebook at Miss Honey Goddess.
Yes, you can search me at Miss Honey Goddess.
she was all that extra breath to say that, like, Miss Honey Goddess.
Yeah, I could have just said that, right?
Yeah, you did. She really went into an https://facebook.com.
Don't
like,
make
okay,
fun of me. I'm sleepy.
Man, if you don't tell these people to go search Miss Honey Goddess and call it a day,
Yeah, Miss Honey Goddess, follow me, everybody. Follow me to the top, because I will be going to
we
the top
do
soon.
That. We following you. I'm on it now, making sure. I've already been following your fan page. I think I'm following your Twitter already, too.
The Diamond Goddess on Twitter?
See. So, yeah, there we go. All right, everybody. It's about that time as we go out. We're going to remind you that you can listen to all the shows over at blogtalkradio.com/ Ceddy J, CEDDY, letter J. And it is phone free. It's on iTunes as well. Beyond the Pod, those are free as well to listen to the show. That being said, we remind you of everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it. Remember, well, there's a J. Oh, there's a U, there is a way. Y'all tuned to the episode of Life at the Dusk Live with yours truly, Ceddy J. We're rolling on out. Peace.